विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले हिज होलीनेस राधानाथ स्वामी नीति नामिने नमो ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे हरे कृष्ण एवरीबॉडी माय नेम इज नंदिनी राधा देवी दासी एंड टुडे आई विल बी मेकिंग अ वेरी स्पेशल प्रेजेंटेशन ऑन द लॉर्ड ऑफ द यूनिवर्स लॉर्ड जगन्नाथ एंड टॉकिंग अबाउट हिज वर्शिप various rituals related to him as well as some of his wonderful pastimes. So before I begin my presentation, I would like to recite verse number 3 from Jagannath Astakam. Residing on the shore of the great ocean, within a large palace situated upon the crest of the brilliant golden Neelachal hill, along with his powerful brother Balabhadra, in the middle of them his sister Subhadra, Lord Jagannath bestows the opportunity for devotional service upon all godly souls. May that Jagannath Swami be the object of my vision. Sorry? So before I begin my presentation, we are eternally grateful to the founder of ISKCON, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, because it was Prabhupada who brought Lord Jagannath to the West. And without Srila Prabhupada's mercy, none of us would have really known Lord Jagannath. Excuse me, Mataji. Yeah, I can't help it. So today I'll be talking about various aspects, and the first aspect that I'll be talking about would be the appearance of Lord Jagannath, and why do the deities which are placed on the right altar here, why do they look the way they do? And there are two historical aspects about their appearance, and I'll be discussing each one of them in a little bit of detail. So the first story refers to a story which happened thousands and thousands of years ago. There lived a king by the name of King Indradyuman, who was a great devotee of the Lord, and he had a very keen desire to see the Lord face to face. The king heard from a devotee in his court that the Lord had incarnated himself in the form of a very beautiful deity known as Neelamadhav. And so the king sent his Brahmins from his kingdom to search for that particular deity because he wanted to have that deity and worship him. All the Brahmins who went for the search returned back unsuccessful, except for one Brahmin by the name of Vidyapati, who did not return for a very long time. Vidyapati incidentally happened to reach a place which was inhabited by a specific tribe known as the Sabaras, and there he had taken shelter in the home of a person known as Visvasa. Vidyapati also served Visvasu very well, with the result that he ended up marrying his daughter by the name of Lalita. When Vidyapati was serving his father-in-law very nicely, he happened to notice a very strange behavior. He found that his father-in-law was going out every single night in a very mysterious fashion, and he would return back every night with lots of fragrances such as camphor, musk and sandalwood, and very delicious foodstuffs. So Vidyapati was extremely intrigued and wanted to find out where his father-in-law was going every single night and how come he was returning back with so many wonderful offerings. So he asked his wife, "What is going on with your father? Where is he going every single night?" His wife told him that her father was going every night to worship Neelamadhav secretly. When Vidyapati came to know about this, he was extremely happy and he wanted to see the deity in person. So Vidyapati approached his father-in-law and said to him whether he would be able to take him to visit Neelamadhav. However, Visvasu, his father-in-law, was very attached to the deity and wanted to make sure that nobody would steal that deity from him. So he made a condition. He told his son-in-law that he would take him to see the Lord, but he would bind his eyes so that he would not be able to mark the way or track the path for Neelamadhav. However, Vidyapati's wife was very cunning. She secretly bound some mustard seeds in the border of Vidyapati's dhoti. So when Vidyapati was blindfolded and he was taken on the path to look at Nilamadhav, he dropped those mustard seeds so that he could track the way in the future. When Vidyapati reached the spot where the deity was present and he happened to see the deity, he was extremely ecstatic and began to dance and offer prayers. And as Visvasu, his father-in-law, was consistently engaged in the service to the Lord spoke to him as follows. I have for so many days accepted the simple forest flowers and roots offered to me by you. Now I desire the royal service offered to me by my devotee, King Indradyuman. When Visvasu heard this, he was feeling very depressed because he knew that the Lord no longer wanted any worship or any service from him. And he was feeling very cheated. He thought, I shall be cheated from the service of Sri Nilamadhav. And as a result of this, he bound his son-in-law Vidyapati and kept him in his house. However, later he freed him. And once free, Vidyapati immediately went back to the kingdom of King Indradyuman and told him exactly what had happened. When the king heard about this, that the deity of Nilamadhav was discovered, he was extremely ecstatic and he gathered very many people from his kingdom in order to bring Srila Nilamadhav back to his kingdom. And the way the king was able to track where the deity was placed was because the mustard seeds which were thrown by Vidyapati had actually blossomed into small plants, and as a result of that he could track or trace the path back. However, the king was in for a huge disappointment, because once he reached the place where the deity was supposed to be found, he found that there was no deity. It was an empty spot. So King Indradyuman became extremely angry and besieged the village of the Sabara and arrested Visvasu, thinking that Visvasu had hidden the deity and was not allowing the king to worship him. However, at this point, suddenly a voice in the sky said to the king, release this Sabara. On top of Neelachal Hill, you should construct a temple. There, as Daru Brahman, or the Absolute Truth, manifest in a wooden form, you will see me. You will no longer see me as Nilamadhav. So the king became extremely discouraged because he knew he would never be able to see the deity of Nilamadhav again. So Lord Jagannath spoke to him once again in a dream as follows. My dear king, please don't be anxious. I shall come floating in from the sea in my wooden form as a log at the place called Bankimohan. So the king went to the shore of the ocean, and there he saw a huge piece of wood marked with the four symbols of Lord Vishnu, namely conch, disc, club and lotus. So the king gathered a large number of men and elephants to lift that log of wood so that a deity could be carved from it. However, thousands of men and elephants could not even budge that log. It was that heavy. Lord Jagannath again came to the king in a dream and said, please bring my previous servant Visvasu and place a golden chariot in front of the log of wood. And this is exactly what the king did. He got hold of his previous servitor Visvasu, and Visvasu was able to get the log of wood from the ocean and place it on the chariot. Then the log of wood was taken to the kingdom of the king, and the king started to recruit a lot of expert sculptors in order to carve a deity for the lordship. However, this was another unique pastime of the Lord. Whenever the sculptors would start the carving, their chisels would break into pieces and all their tools would also collapse. At this point, one old Brahmin, in fact, in reality, the Lord himself, appeared as a person called Ananta Maharana and served as the sculptor. This sculptor took the wooden log into the temple, closed the doors, and made the king promise that while he's working on the carving of the deities for 21 days, nobody should come to that room and nobody should disturb him. This was his condition. However, after 14 days, the king was unable to hear any sounds coming from the artist's room. So he was getting very concerned and he was in great anxiety, thinking that what is going on inside the room? The carving is supposed to be going, but I don't hear any sound of the tools. So he went to his wife. And his wife told him, maybe there is something wrong inside. Maybe the carpenter has fallen sick or something is going on inside. Why don't you open the door and see it for yourself? So the king, by force, he opened the door of the temple where the carving was going on, only to find that the carpenter had gone and the deities were half finished. The deities were in the form of Lord Jagannath, Subhadra Devi and Lord Balaram. However, the deities had no arms and no legs because the king had broken his promise. He had entered the quarters on the 14th day when he was told by the carpenter not to come before 21 days. The Lord came to King Indraduman in a dream and told him, "I have no material hands and feet, but with my transcendental senses, I accept all the items offered in service by my devotees." At this point, the king prayed to the Lord, "O my Lord, grant those who appear in the family of the sculptor who manifested your form may age after age assist in constructing your three carts." The king also asked for a special benediction, and as a result of this benediction which was sought by the king, one can see why Lord Jagannath eats so much and so many offerings are made to Lord Jagannath all day long. The king said to the Lord, "O my Lord, kindly grant me one favor. Let the doors to your temple be closed for only 3 hours a day. The rest of the time, let the doors be open so that all the residents of the universe may have access to see you. Further, let it be that all day long your eating may go on and on, and that your lotus fingers may thus never become dry." And as a result of this benediction, Lord Jagannath fulfilled his promise. So in Jagannath Puri, every single hour offerings are made to Lord Jagannath and he eats all day long. So that was the first story, which refers to why the lordships appeared in the form that they were appearing. And this is a second story also from the Purans. This refers to a pastime in Lord Krishna's or Dwarkadhish's kingdom in Dwarka, whereby Krishna's queens noticed very frequently that when Krishna was sleeping in the night, he would be simply chanting the names of Radhe, Radhe. He would simply keep on chanting. So Krishna's queens wanted to know what happened in Vraja that Krishna is so attached to his gopis there and what kind of leelas happened there. So the queens went to Mother Rohini, who is the mother of Lord Balaram, and they asked Mother Rohini whether she could tell them about Vraja Leela pastimes of Lord Krishna with the gopis. Rohini agreed to talk, but she made a condition. She said she would only talk if Krishna and Balaram are not allowed to enter the room. Because she felt that once she starts talking about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan, they may end up going into a trance or a Mahabhav Prakash. So in order to comply with this request, the sister Subhadra was instructed to keep watch, and she was guarding the door so that Krishna and Balaram were not allowed to enter inside. However, when Rohini spoke, Subhadra went into ecstasy and her hands and legs pushed into her body and her eyes became dilated. Subhadra Maharani became so overwhelmed by the gopi's devotion that she completely lost track of time and she did not even realize that Krishna and Balaram had come to the door. So, as I said earlier, Subhadra Maharani herself had gone into a trance and she didn't see her brothers approaching. As the brothers carefully put their ears on the door and started listening, their hairs stood on end, their arms retracted, their eyes grew larger and larger, and they started smiling very broadly in ecstasy. And that is why Lord Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra Maharani looked the way they do. This is a second pastime. While the lordships were manifesting this pastime, Narad Muni happened to pass by, and when he saw those three ecstatic forms in Mahabhav Prakash, he told the lordships, "Now I have seen these forms, please let these forms be worshipped perpetually." And that's why the worship of Lord Jagannath started in that particular form. So that was some history about why the Lord appears in that particular form. Now I'm going to talk about the second aspect and discuss the rituals which occur with regard to the deity worship in Jagannath Puri. Jagannath Puri is a place in the state called Orissa in the eastern tract of India, and that is the temple on the left which is shown. It's a very popular and a very sacred temple, and the deities which are shown in the lower part of the slide are huge deities of Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra Maharani, which are situated there. So I'll start by talking about what happens in a single day in that particular temple. The temple doors open at 4:30 and the interior of the temple is cleaned. Then 21 camphor and ghee lamps are offered to the lordships. The deities are dressed for bathing and their reflections are bathed. Their teeth and tongue are also cleaned. And finally, they are dressed in pure silk, flowers and ornaments, and the cooking starts in the kitchen. At 8:30 a.m., the sun god along with the doorway guardians are worshipped. At 9 a.m., breakfast is offered to the lordship, which consists of fused rice, coconut, butter, yogurt, banana, sweets, papuri, and nutmeg. That was a light breakfast. At 10 a.m. is the big breakfast, which consists of dal and gram cakes, khichdi, spinach, idli, payasam, just to name a few. Lamps are also offered at 10 o'clock, and dresses and flower garlands are also changed. At 12:30 p.m., just 2 hours after eating a massive breakfast, Lord Jagannath is ready for his lunch. The lunch, which is offered, consists of rice with ghee, dal, sabjis, flour cakes, sweets made with rice flour, wheat and gur. Lamps are also offered, and after this big meal, the lordships are actually put to rest. After sleeping for a few hours, the deities are woken up at 6 p.m. and lamps are offered once again. At 7 p.m., a very large dinner is offered, consisting of a varieties of rice, cake, sweets and cheesecake. The dresses and flower garlands are changed once again, and sandalwood paste mixed with camphor and saffron is offered to the deities. Finally, at 11 p.m., an evening snack is offered to the lordships before they go to bed. This consists of sweet cakes, sweet curd products, milk sweets and banana cutlets. And this is supposed to be a very light snack for the lordships. The beds are also offered along with the flowers and tender green coconuts, and music from Gita Govinda is played while the lordships are put to rest in a very peaceful manner. So that was a day's schedule. This is one day what goes on in Jagannath Puri in the temple, and this has been going on every single day for thousands of years. Now, as some of you who have been to Jagannath Puri may be aware, that is the largest kitchen on this planet. That is the largest kitchen. 5,000 cooks prepare at least 56 types of dishes every single day. There is enough food prepared to feed 10,000 people daily, and this number increases to 25,000 during the festival. The kitchen compound itself is 43,000 square feet in dimension. There are a total of 9 kitchens, and in the courtyard, the cutting and the chopping of the vegetables is done. There are 752 wood-burning stoves. And the way the cooking is done is that the pots that you see in the image, 9 pots are stacked on top of each other, and that's how the cooking is done on wooden stoves. There is no gas or no electric burner which is used there. 1,000 men work daily in the kitchen. 500 of these are the chief cooks, while 300 are responsible only for lighting the fire, fetching the water, washing and cleaning the pots. 200 only work in the courtyard, and there are certain special devotees who carry the offerings to the deities through a very special tunnel. Once the bhoga is ready, this is not allowed to be seen by any of the members. So this is hidden very carefully and passed through a very special tunnel to the main altar. Once the bhoga reaches the main altar, the temple head priest makes the offering in a very specialized manner. And after the offering is done on the main altar, the offering comes off and is made to Goddess Bimala, whose temple is right in the vicinity of Jagannath temple. She happens to be an incarnation of Durgama. So this was a little glimpse of how Jagannath eats and what kind of foods he eats and how many cooks are involved in the cooking in the kitchen. Now I'll move into the aspect of festivals. I'll be discussing only a few festivals because there are innumerable festivals focused on Lord Jagannath, so I'll be discussing just a few of them. The first one that I'll start with is Snan Yatra, and I'm sure most of you must have seen this festival here in our temple. This refers to the bathing of the Lord, and this typically happens in the full moon day of the month of Jyeshtha, and this is the day when Krishna manifested his Mahabhava Prakash while he was listening to his Leela in the town of Dwarka. The lordships are bathed with 108 golden water pots filled with cool sandalwood-scented water. And after the bathing is done, the deities appear in a very special dress known as Hathi Vesh. Hathi means elephant and Vesha means dress. So after the bathing, the deities actually start looking like this. And they take on the form of elephants, and there is a pastime tied behind this, why the deities are dressed in such manner, but I won't have time to go into it. This is related to a certain devotee of Lord Ganesh who did not believe that Vishnu is the source of Lord Ganesh, and so he wanted to see Vishnu in the form of Lord Ganesh, and that's how Jagannath appeared in the form of Ganesh. Anavasara refers to no opportunity. It is said that when Lord Jagannath is bathed by so many devotees, on a very hot summer day using very cold water, he actually catches a cold and a fever. As a result of this, the deities retire for a fortnight into their private quarters and are simply attended by their very, very special servants known as daitas. During this time, there is a renovation of the deities and the deities are repainted during this fortnight. The deities are also offered an infusion of herbs and medication because they have to recover quickly from their fever and their cold. Navayovana refers to fresh youth. This is the day before Rath Yatra when the lordships, freshly painted, are placed back on the altar. During the 15 days in seclusion, Lord Jagannath actually lives in a solitary place with his wife Lakshmi. And after the 15 days are up, he asks permission from his wife to leave and comes out for Rath Yatra to give darshan to thousands of devotees like us. And that leads us to Rath Yatra, which is one of the most exuberant festivals ever to happen. And in the West, it's known as the Festival of Chariots. I will not have time to go over in great detail about Rath Yatra, but primarily this signifies the return of Lord Krishna to Vrindavan from Dwarka. The palace of Dwarka represents the residence of Jagannath in Jagannath Puri, while Gundicha temple, where the chariots actually move, represents Vrindavan. Rath Yatra in Puri is very special for those of you who have seen it. There are about a million devotees who pull the chariots. In Puri, Lord Balram emerges first, followed by Sudarshan Chakra, and then by Subhadra Maharani, and in the end, Lord Jagannath appears. The way the deities are carried is a very unique and a special way. They are carried in a procession known as Pahandi. And Pahandi, I'm not sure if some of you have seen, but the way deities are carried is they're being lifted by hundreds of devotees and their heads move back and fro. So it seems like the lordships are highly intoxicated and it's a very sweet sight. And these are some images of the deities of Jagannath Puri while they are being carried on their chariots. And you can see lots of devotees are carrying them and they have wonderful headdresses. And the way they move the deities, it seems like they are highly intoxicated. So I'll talk a little bit about what's so special about the three carts. The three carts that are utilized for the lordships have to be designed and made in a very specialized manner. Lord Jagannath's cart is known as Nandi Ghosh. It's the largest of the three carts. It's 50 feet high and has 16 wheels. It has the flag of Garud on top of it. The charioteer is Matali, who controls four white horses. Garud is the protector of this particular cart, and you can see the deity of Garud is right on top in our temple right there, while Jay and Vijay are the doorkeepers. The astonishing part is that there are 832 wooden parts used for the construction of this cart, and not a single nail is utilized. So you can imagine how the construction is done. The canopy of Lord Jagannath's cart is yellow and red in color. Lord Balaram's cart is known as Taladvaja. This is 47 feet high and has 14 wheels. The flag has an image of the plowshare because that's Lord Balaram's weapon. The charioteer is Daruka, who controls four black horses. Shesha is the protector, while Nandi and Sunandi are the doorkeepers. For this cart, 763 wooden parts are used, and the canopy is green and red in color. Finally, Subhadra Maharani's cart is known as Devi Rath or Padma Dwaja. This is the smallest of all the three carts. It's about 43 feet high and has 12 wheels. The flag has the symbol of a lotus flower, and the charioteer is Arjun, who is actually the husband of Subhadra Maharani, and he controls four chestnut-colored horses. Jaya Durga is the protector, while Ganga and Yamuna are the doorkeepers. For this cart, 593 wooden parts are used, and the canopy is black and red in color. And the Sudarshan Chakra also rides this particular cart. And as these are some of the images that show you actually our wonderful deities from Los Angeles placed on their gorgeous carts during the Rath Yatra festival that happens on Venice Beach. You can see how opulent and gorgeous they look here. The next festival is once the deities are placed on the carts, it's followed by a pest festival called Chera Pahandra, which simply refers to sweeping with water. At this point, the king of Orissa comes on the chariot and performs sweeping for the Lord with a golden handled broom and also offers water and flowers on all three chariots. After the sweeping is done, the carts are pulled by the devotees, thousands and thousands of devotees, and proceed toward Gundicha temple, which is about a mile away. The only stop is at a place called Balagandhi, where delicious food offerings are made to the lordships. Hera Panchami is a very interesting festival. When Lord Jagannath tells his wife Lakshmi Devi that he is going out on Rath Yatra because he wants to bestow benediction on his devotees who are very eager to see him, Lakshmi ji does not realize that the Lord will be gone for so long. So she keeps on waiting every single day that the Lord will return now. So after 5 days, Panchami means five. After 5 days, Lakshmi ji becomes very upset. And she thinks that Lord Jagannath has taken a very long extended vacation at Gundicha temple. She expresses her anger. So she herself dresses in regal attire and advances to Gundicha temple in order to chastise him, because he's her husband. However, once she reaches Gundicha temple, she finds that the doors of the temple are closed. So she's very angry. She's in fact more angry right now, and she charges back to Jagannath Puri temple. But while she goes back to Jagannath Puri temple, in her anger, she breaks a little piece of Lord Jagannath's cart. Bahuda Yatra refers to the return journey. The deities remain in Gundicha temple for about 8 to 9 days. And this, once they return back to the trip, they stop at a place called Ardhasani, where hundreds of offerings are made again to the lordships. So this is simply reflecting the return journey back to the Puri temple. Suna Vesha is a very interesting festival. Suna means gold and Vesh means dress. Once the deities return back from the Gundicha temple back to the Puri temple, they are placed in front of the lion gate. On Ekadashi evening, they are offered stunning golden outfits. And the image that you see at the bottom is actually the real golden outfits which are offered to the lordships. On Dwadashi, the deities return to the main temple. However, at this point, there is a very sweet leela. Because Lord Jagannath has left his wife for 8 to 9 days, when he returns back to his own home, she gets very upset and does not open the door to let him in. What happens next is a very haughty dialogue between Lakshmiji's servants and Jagannath's servants. And finally, Lord Jagannath is allowed to enter inside after he pacifies his wife with very precious gifts. Pushya Abhishek is another festival which occurs in the month of October, November. This simply refers to profuse decoration of the deities. Here, Lord Jagannath is actually dressed as Lord Ram. That's why he's green in color. And Lakshmiji is seen as Sita. And there are 81 pots offered before the deities, which contain ghee as well as fresh water. And the deities are bathed via the use of a mirror. Another festival is known as Akshaya Tritiya. This is a very unique day and falls in the month of Vaisakh. During this day, the deities are bathed with a very special kind of Mahasnan water. And the festival moves to Chandan Yatra, which continues for 21 days. And this actually occurs in the summer when the weather is very hot. So the deities are smeared with sandalwood paste. The Utsav deities travel to a lake called Nanda Sarovar and board two boats to enjoy cooling boat rides every single day for 21 days. So those were some of the festivals. But one festival that I really want to focus on is a very unique and a very special festival. And it's a very closely guarded secret. And there's no manuscripts which actually tell how the festival is conducted. This festival is known as Navakalevara, and this refers to the carving of the new deities of the lordships. As you can see, the deities are actually made up of wood. And so new deities have to be carved every 18 to 19 years. And this festival happens once in 18 or 19 years. And the next time this is going to happen in Jagannath Puri happens to be in 2015 or 16. It's a very special period. This refers to the process of replacing the four deities, Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra, as well as Sudarshan Chakra. The rituals which occur during this festival are extremely secret and very mystical, and the entire process takes about 3 months. The appropriate time to have this particular festival is determined when the year has an extra month. And if some of you recall, 2012 is the year when there is an extra month of Purushottam Mass. So in this year, devotees in Jagannath Puri would have taken the decision when the new deities would be carved. As I said earlier, there's no published manuscripts available, and all the intricate procedures are passed down by word of mouth. There are 5 aspects to this proceeding, and I'll be discussing all these 5 aspects, which are extremely interesting. The first aspect refers to the search for the sacred trees, also known as daru, the study of their characteristics and ceremonies to cut them. Remember, these are the trees which are going to be utilized for carving of the deities. So these trees have to be extremely special. The second aspect involves the procession of this wood back to Puri and the carving of the deities. The third refers to the consecration by transferring of the supreme matter into the new duties. The fourth involves the burial of the old figures, funeral and purification. And finally, the fifth aspect focuses on the layering of over wood and final painting of the deities. So we'll start with the first aspect. The search for the sacred tree begins about 65 days before Snan Yatra, and 28 confidential servants known as Dayatas and chief priest known as Pati Mahapatra meet at the Jagannath temple and perform a variety of prayers and receive 3 flower garlands each. A servant then applies sandalwood paste and red powder on the foreheads of all these priests who are involved in the search. There are 4 carpenters who are involved and the carrier of chakra. All these people are presented a very special cotton sari. This entire party then proceeds to King Indradyuman's palace, who welcomes them with very auspicious articles. The group then moves to a place called Jagannath Vallabh Math and remains there for about 1 or 2 days. On an auspicious morning, the party travels barefoot 25 miles to the temple of Mangala Devi and offer her Mahaprasad. At that very temple itself, a very elaborate worship of Mangala Devi is performed. So one would question, why is Mangala Devi worshipped so opulently? What is the reason behind this? And there is a reason. Because Mangala Devi comes in the dream of one of the servants and actually reveals the location of the trees. That's how the location of the trees is discerned. Flowers from the Mangala Devi deity fall, and wherever the position where the flowers fall, that determines the direction in which the trees are going to be located. The trees used to fashion the deities are not mundane trees, and they are actually assigned by the Lord himself. So the tree, as I mentioned to you earlier, the wood which is utilized for carving these deities has to be extremely special, and I'm going to tell you how this wood has to look like. The wood for Lord Jagannath must come from a tree which is dark or dark red in color. The trunk of this tree must be straight and have 4 branches. This tree should stand near a pond or a river and must be surrounded by 3 mountains. There should be a cremation ground, an hermitage, an ant hill, and a Shiva temple right next to the tree. The tree must be free of any pathogens and parasites. There should be signs of snakes in the area, and I've shown you an image. There is a snake right next to the tree. The trunk must contain sacred signs of Vishnu, and I'm not sure if you can see, but the top image shows you the sign of the club, which is Lord Vishnu's tool. It's on the tree. And the tree must also be surrounded by several other trees. The daru or the wood for Lord Baladev's deity must be white or light brown in color. The tree should have 7 main branches, and the upper branches should form a canopy looking like a cobra's hood. That's because Lord Balaram is Anantashesh himself. The tree should also have signs of the plow and the club. Subhadra Maharani's tree should be yellowish in color. The tree should have 5 main branches, and there should be symbols of the lotus flower on that particular tree. Finally, the wood used for Sudarshan Chakra should be reddish in color and have 3 main branches with the sign of chakra on the trunk of the wood. So, the quest for locating these trees may last for several weeks. The search party goes out daily, walks barefoot, nobody wears shoes, and the devotees who are looking for the tree only eat once a day. Once a particular tree is located, which satisfies all these criteria, the surrounding area is cleared, so Sudarshan Chakra is placed near the roots, and a small fire sacrifice is performed. There is circumambulation of the trees, and flowers and sandalwood paste besides other items are offered to that particular tree. You can see from the image here, the tree is actually being offered worship, and there is a fire sacrifice going on. At this point, the main acharya seeks the blessings of Lord Vishnu and announces to Lord Vishnu that he will commence cutting the tree. At this point, the mantra raj or special invocation is chanted to Lord Nrisingadev to seek protection, and symbolic strokes are performed on the tree using a golden and a silver axe. These axes are no bigger than a dangling earring, so these are only symbolic strokes. The acharya then handles a full-sized iron axe, as has been seen in the picture here at the bottom picture, and the tree is cut amidst the chanting of the Vedic hymns. It is also very important that once the tree is cut, the tree should fall either in the eastern or northern or northeastern direction. Otherwise, the tree is considered inauspicious. So you can see how many rules and regulations are involved in the search for the daru, as well as all the rituals which follows after the search. So the second aspect is, after the tree has been located and confirmed that these are the right trees, the nearby trees are also cut to construct a cart, and the wood which is utilized for making the deities is wrapped in a colorful cloth, tied securely to the cart with ropes, and the party then pulls this cart in the direction which is considered auspicious for that particular day. So there are again very many rituals involved here. But please bear in mind, the wood that is used for carving the deities has got to be pulled only by humans' hands and not by animals. And as a result of this, you don't see any animals pulling the carts. Only human beings are pulling the carts. And these are some of the images which show you the devotees who have actually cut the tree. Now they're wrapping the tree in a very special cloth. And that's a cart which is handmade by the devotees. And now this cart will be taken to Lord Jagannath's temple, where the carving will actually begin. So the second aspect is the carving of the deities. Once the wood is received, it is placed in the inner compounds of Jagannath temple, and the carpenters begin carving on the second day of the dark fortnight. At this point, no one is allowed to see or hear the carpenters while the carving is going on, because the carving techniques are a very closely guarded secret. The carving of the deities continues for about 13 days. And during the carving, a cavity is included in each murti, whereby a mysterious substance known as Brahma Padarth, or the supreme matter, will be placed later. The third aspect is consecration, which refers to the installation. And when I was doing my research, these installation ceremonies are extremely elaborate, and I had to read about 20 pages of worth of matter, which I've condensed into one slide. It's a very detailed and a very intricate process. This is performed on separate pieces of wood called Nyasa Daru, which is cut into four pieces. And on Amavasya, which is the day of the new moon, the newly carved deities are placed right next to the old deities. At this point, the old deities are covered with a thick layer of resin, silk, sandalwood and other material. This layer is stripped off on Dwadashi, and the old deities stand unpainted next to the new ones. So this is a very critical time. The new deities are carved, but they are not yet painted, and they are made to stand next to the old deities. All lights in the temple, as well as the entire town of Puri, are completely turned off when the new deities are placed next to the old ones. So you can imagine the entire city is immersed in darkness while this process is going on. Then, four confidential servants known as Daitas are blindfolded. Their hands are wrapped in cloth to the elbow so that they cannot see or feel the Brahma Padarth. This is a very important ritual whereby the supreme matter is removed from the old deities and transferred into the cavity of the new deities. However, it is recommended that this supreme matter should neither be seen nor be touched by any human hands. And that's why the Daitas are blindfolded and the hands are covered with cloth. On Amavasya midnight, these Daitas lift the very mysterious substance from the old murtis and transfer it into the cavities of the new murtis. And the cavity is then covered with four pieces of Nyasa Daru. Now, once the supreme matter has been removed from the old murtis are transported back, or rather into the graveyard, where they are actually sunk into a pit along with all wooden images from the Rath Yatra festival. Because the old deities have been buried, this is a period of sorrow, and hence Lord Jagannath's servants weep in sorrow and remain in a state of impurity for 10 days. On the 10th day, they take a purifying bath and whitewash all their homes, and on the 12th day, a huge feast for Lord Jagannath's servants is held. The final aspect is the layering. After consecration, the new deities remain in a very sacred area and are hidden by a bamboo curtain from the public for about 15 days, during which no rituals are conducted. Worship is only offered to the Utsav deities. After Purnima, which is the full moon day, the deities are handed over to the chief priest, who infuses the deities with flesh and blood. So what refers to the seven layers of the human body? The chief priest uses cloth, which signifies skin, red cloth, which signifies blood, tree sap, which signifies flesh, perfumed oils, which signifies marrow, sandalwood paste, which signifies fat, starch of rice for semen, and finally the wood itself, which signifies the bones of the deities. So there's again a very elaborate ritual here. And the final painting occurs when the murtis are handed over to the painters, who use very natural colors to paint the deities. For instance, coal is used for the color black, mother of pearl for white, and turmeric for yellow. The painters at this point are not allowed to paint the pupils of the deity's eyes. And in fact, this is another ceremony which is held by the temple priest known as Netrotsav, where the eyes of the deities are opened and their reflections are bathed in mirrors. The following day, after the new deities have been painted, they are ready for emerging out of the temple for the grand festival of Rath Yatra, as you can see. Now this was, I just wanted to tell you that this entire information that I gleaned, which is very unique and very intricate, was primarily taken from the book entitled Jai Jagannath, written by His Grace Dhruva Maharaj Das. But I also consulted other books. There are various books which are written by ISKCON devotees, and I would highly encourage you to get hold of these books and read The Wonderful Pastimes of Lord Jagannath and all that is to be known about him. There's just too much information about him, which is absolutely wonderful reading. At this point, for the last 5 or 7 minutes, I would like to focus on very special deities which are located in Rajapur, which is a town in Mayapur in West Bengal. And these deities are worshipped by ISKCON devotees. And these are extremely special deities, and I'll be going over the history as well as some of their pastimes. So the history goes like this. About 500 years ago, there lived a devotee by the name of Jagadish Gangoli in Mayapur. Jagadish Gangoli was very attached to Lord Jagannath, and every single year he went to Puri to visit Lord Chaitanya and take darshan of Lord Jagannath. However, as a result of old age, he was struck with blindness and he was no longer able to go and take darshan of Lord Jagannath. One night, Lord Jagannath appeared in a dream and he told Jagadish Gangoli that when Gangoli went for his daily bath in Ganges the next day, a log of wood would touch his head and he would be cured of his blindness. The Lord instructed Jagadish then to take that log to a nearby village and request a certain devotee carpenter to carve a deity of Lord Jagannath. The carpenter who would be chosen would actually refuse to do the work because he was a leper and his hands would be highly deformed. But the Lord told Jagadish that it was really up to him to convince him to do the service. The Lord also assured Jagadish that when the carpenter had completed the deity, his leprosy would be completely cured. The Lord Jagannath's words came very true when Jagadish Gangoli went the next day to Ganga to take a bath. A log of wood did hit his head, and he took that log of wood and he was cured of his blindness. He took the wood to the leper carpenter and requested him to carve a deity of Lord Jagannath. The leper was in terrible agony because he had leprosy and he could not really function very well. And while he was carving the deity for the Lord, there was a lot of blood and pus oozing from his stumps. Finally, the deity was completed, and to everyone's amazement, the devotee leper, who was a carpenter, was completely cured of his leprosy. Once this deity was carved in great pomp and celebration, the deity was carried to the site of the present temple and his worship was established. A few nights later, Lord Jagannath again came in a dream to Jagadish Gangoli and instructed him to take some nearby neem wood and request the same carpenter to make deities of Subhadra Devi and Lord Balaram. So very soon, all the three deities were installed with great love and attention by their trusted devotee and their worship was commenced. One day, however, since Jagadish Gangoli was taking care of these deities, he left the world as a result of old age, and his beloved deities were completely neglected. In fact, Lord Jagannath, Subhadra Maharani and Lord Balaram were completely forgotten, and over time, their temple deteriorated and collapsed around them because no one was offering worship to them, which was very sad. Some centuries later, a local villager noticed a very unique, beautiful blue flower which was growing on top of a termite hill. He was very curious and he ventured closer, and while he came closer to the hill, he heard a voice coming from the hill. Someone was saying, "Please, please give me some water." And so this person was very curious and he quickly started digging, eager to search out who the owner of this voice was. And once he did the digging, To his surprise, he found the three wonderful deities of Jagannath, Balabhadra and Subhadra. What was a surprising fact was that although the deities had been residing in the middle of the termite hill for hundreds of years, their abode was completely unharmed. This event actually happened about 60 to 65 years ago, and once again a temple was constructed and elaborate worship was performed for the lordships. In 1978, the health of the aging priest who was taking care of the deities actually failed, and this priest started worrying that history would repeat itself, and he was very concerned and he could not bear the thought of his beloved lords being neglected and inconvenienced once again. So he decided to offer the property to ISKCON, and on God Purnima day of 1978, the most auspicious transaction took place whereby the deities were handed over to ISKCON and a beautiful new temple was constructed. And now I'll simply talk about a few pastimes of these particular set of deities. There are about hundreds and hundreds of pastimes, but I'm just going to talk about just a few of them. So first, this is entitled, they have very nice prasadam. When ISKCON was first given this temple, there were very many joint owners and the sale deed required the signatures of lots of devotees. At that point, His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj did not want full worship to begin until all the remaining people had signed the sale deeds so that the temple could be formally transferred to ISKCON. However, the chief pujari at that point did not know that Maharaj had asked for this instruction, and he had already begun offering bhoga, which was brought from Radha Madhav's kitchen in Mayapur. Upon hearing Maharaj's instruction, this priest immediately stopped the offerings. Once the offerings were stopped, this priest had a dream. In this dream, he dreamt that he was going to wake up the deities, and when he went to wake up the deities, they were not there. They were gone. So frantically running outside, the priest saw across the fields that all the three deities were running across the fields. So he called out to them, Jagannath, Balabhadra, Subhadra, where are you going? And the deities responded back, you are not feeding us. So we are going to Mayapur Mandir. They have very nice prasadam there. Lots of prasad. And as a result of this dream, when Maharaj heard about this dream, he instructed immediately to continue the offerings. Because Lord Jagannath was not being fed, and so he was running to Radha Madhav's temple to get his food. The second is a pastime which relates to Mahaprasadam. One time on Snan Yatra, two rickshaw drivers came to the temple. One driver took some khichdi, which is of course a very typical prasad at Jagannath Puri, as well as Mayapur, and took some khichdi for his Muslim friend who did not want to come inside the temple. The driver, one of the rickshaw drivers, told his friend, I have brought you some prasadam, please honor it. The Muslim friend threw it on the ground, saying, we don't eat these things. The Muslim had a dream that particular night. He dreamt that Lord Balaram was sitting on his chest, squashing him and beating him like anything. And Subhadra Maharani was there too. She was laughing out really loudly and saying, kill him, kill him. And Lord Jagannath was there and he was saying, no, no, please don't kill him. And Lord Jagannath was also laughing. The very next day, this Muslim came very humbly before the deity and offered worship to Lord Jagannath. He had realized his offense and also asked for some Mahaprasadam khichdi that he wanted to honor. The third pastime refers to Subhadra Maharani's brooch. One day, a devotee's young son came running to his mother. This is a 6 or 7 year old boy. He was crying very badly and he came running to his mother. So she asked him, what's the matter? What's the matter? He calmed down and he told her, Mata, I went to the temple of Lord Jagannath and I saw that Subhadra Devi was wearing a very lovely brooch. I wanted to have that brooch. So when I went to take it, I wanted to extend my hand to take that brooch. But just as I was about to take it, her brother, Lord Balaram, swung his arm and slapped my face and sent me doubling out of the room. Because Lord Balaram was concerned that his sister's ornament should not be stolen by anybody, even by a 6 year old child. This is another pastime which refers to blankets. Once when the weather was getting very cold, the priest had a dream that someone was banging on the door while he was sleeping. He got up, opened the doors, and saw the small deities of Jagannath, Subhadra and Balaram lying on their backs on the ground. The deities were shivering and they asked him, why are you not offering us blankets? You have one, but what about us? You are sleeping very nicely under your quilt. Don't you think we feel cold? And from that day on, the blankets were offered earlier to the lordships. This is a pastime referring to Govardhan Shila. This is very interesting. Lord Jagannath appeared in a dream to the priest and started complaining in his dream. Now, for those of you who've been to Rajapur temple, there is a Govardhan Shila which is kept on the altar right next to the Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra, who is also offered worship. So Lord Jagannath appeared in a dream and complained to the priest that Govardhan Shila, he is so greedy, you know, he eats everything and he's very quick. He doesn't even wait until it is offered. As soon as the pujari comes in, he starts eating and he especially likes the sweets. Please do something because we are not getting any food. He eats everything. So now the pujaris have arranged a very separate plate for Govardhan Shila. So two separate offerings are made, one for the Shila and one for Jagannath. This is referring to shoes inside the temple. One day a rich man visited the temple. Since it was a very crowded temple, he became worried that his fancy shoes would be stolen. So what he did was he stuck his shoes in his belt, covered himself with a shawl and entered the temple. As he bent to offer obeisances to the Lord, his backbone cracked and he was no longer able to stand straight. Despite undergoing much treatment, he never got cured and he realized he had committed an offense against the Lord by bringing shoes inside the temple. So that was a pretty serious offense right there. This refers to a cure as a result of Charnamrita. The eldest son of Lord Jagannath's cook became very sick one day and the doctors told the father that his son was dying and they could not do anything. So they reluctantly admitted him to the hospital, but there was no hope. The cook came to the temple, cooked as usual for Lord Jagannath, took some Charnamrita, tulsi leaves and flowers from Lord Jagannath's lotus feet and prayed to the Lord, "If at all my son has to die in the hospital, at least give him some good destination." He then returned to the hospital and without anyone's knowledge, he put the flowers and tulsi under his son's pillow and gave him the Charnamrita. The very next day when he went to the hospital, he found that his son was completely cured and healthy, and the doctors were extremely surprised and thought that a miracle had occurred, that his son was fully cured of his disease. This is another pastime which refers to Lord Jagannath did not want to leave. One time, some Brahmins in Rajapur from a local village felt that they could offer Lord Jagannath a better standard of worship and wanted to worship him in their own village. So one day they came and they stole the deity of Lord Jagannath. While carrying the Lord across the fields, they all suddenly felt the need to answer nature's call, and as a result, they put the deity on the ground. Upon returning, they found that they could not lift Lord Jagannath anymore. He was so heavy that they could not lift him. So they went and brought some more men to help, but none of the men, even in a combined union, could lift the deity. At that point, these thieves realized that Lord Jagannath did not want to leave Rajapur. So they came back and told the priests, "Your deity is out in the field and he wants to come back." So two pujaris came and picked him up easily and carried him back home. This is another pastime which refers to an epidemic. One day in Rajapur, there was a huge serious epidemic and a lot of people were dying. Lord Jagannath at this point appeared in a dream to the head priest and told him of a medicine that would cure this disease. So the pujari or the priest called all the villagers to gather the ingredients to make this medicine so that all the people could be healed. However, one particular ingredient was missing. Later, a small boy carrying a branch came to the house of the pujari and he gave that to the pujari's wife saying, "I have brought this for your husband, but he is not here, so I'm giving it to you." When the pujari returned, he said, "Oh, that's just what we want. This is the last missing ingredient and the last herb. Who brought this?" The wife replied, "Oh, it was a very charming little boy. I don't think he's from this village, for I have not seen him before." That was Lord Jagannath himself who actually brought the last ingredient. From that day onwards, Lord Jagannath has earned great respect in Rajapur, even from the non-Hindus. The final couple of pastimes is Lord Jagannath goes for a walk. Before ISKCON built the present temple, the old temple was actually buried under a tree, and the local people say that Lord Jagannath actually went out for walks. They never saw him, but they could hear him, especially on Saturday nights. They would see a glow coming from the temple. A sweet scent would permeate the air and they could hear the sound of ankle bells. So that was Lord Jagannath going for a walk. And final pastime is, yes, Jagannath does sneeze. When he catches a cold, he does sneeze. Many years ago, there was an English devotee by the name of Gaura Haridas who lived in Mayapur. After one Snan Yatra festival, when the deities are bathed, when everyone had left and the temple was completely closed, Gaura Hari was inside, was actually walking away from the temple from when inside from the closed altar, he heard what sounded like someone sneezing. He thought, oh no, I must be imagining this. So he came closer to the temple and he distinctly heard a sound of someone sneezing, achu. And so it's confirmed Lord Jagannath actually does catch a cold after Snan Yatra. So these pastimes will never end. In fact, there's hundreds and hundreds of pastimes. And the book from which I glean these pastimes is a book written by His Grace Pankajangri Das in Mayapur, entitled Lord Jagannath in Rajapur. And these are the very, very famous and very merciful and very loving and charming deities. For those of you who've not been to Rajapur, I would highly, highly encourage. That is a place absolutely worth visiting in this one lifetime. Because these deities have such amazing pastimes that it's very hard for me to talk in one Sunday feast lecture. There's just too many pastimes. So at this point, I would like to thank you for all your attention. And these are some of the images of various Jagannath deities all across the globe. And you can see someone has been very innovative. Since Halloween is coming, someone actually painted Lord Jagannath's face on the pumpkin itself. And at this point, if you have any questions, I would take them right now. But again, as I told you earlier, I would refer you to the books that I showed you earlier. Those books make an amazing reading, and you can read those books all night long. There's so many pastimes related to Lord Jagannath. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.